For a text verse this morning, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5. And there is one verse there that I would like us to look at today. And that is in verse 6 of Matthew 5. When Jesus was there giving what we call his Sermon on the Mount, he gave this verse. Verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew 5, verse 6. And the title of the message is, "Blessed are the hungry." You know, one thing that all of us have in common is that we get hungry. Every day, we need to refill our bodies with food so that we have strength to go another day. You know, every time you eat, you are actually saving your life. Did you know that? Because if you would never eat, you would die. And that's not to give, it's not to give a license to overeat, but we put starvation off just that much longer because we aren't hungry anymore. But we need to refill our bodies with food. The desire for food is very, very powerful. If you don't believe it, try it sometime. Go on a fast for 40 days like Elijah did, and you will be hungry. The desire for food is very important. It's a God-given desire. We need to have that desire so we know when to eat. Our bodies need the nourishment. Without eating, we would soon have no energy. And the hungrier we get, the more urgently we look for food. When we're very hungry, we make statements like that are exaggerated. Have you ever heard somebody say they're so hungry they could eat a horse? You probably heard that. Now, do you think they could really go and eat a whole horse? I wouldn't think so, but they might. No, if they're so hungry they could eat an elephant or something like that. But intense hunger causes us to seriously look for something to eat. And really, really intense hunger can bring out some unpleasant character traits in people. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a story about a wartime city. Samaria was the city, and Elisha was part of it. And in this city, they had soldiers all the way around the city. And they called it a siege. That's when they had an army that's camped all the way around the city, and they won't let you come in, they won't let you go out. Their goal is to starve you out. And they had almost gotten this done. Elisha was in the city. Elisha and his servant were in Samaria. And the king, I think his name was Hoshea at that time. And he was hungry too. All the people were hungry. And they had been there for a long time. Some people say it was 2 to 3 years. I don't know. That's a long time to be stuck inside the city. But they were so hungry that they were getting desperate. And the king heard a story from a lady who was crying for food. "Get us some food. King, get us some food." Well, the king couldn't do anything. But he was the ruler and he was responsible. Now, the lady said, "Here's what happened. I was living with this other person, with this other lady. There's two of us were in the house. And she said that today we're going to eat your son, and tomorrow we can eat my son. So we ate my son yesterday, but today it was time to eat hers, and she hid him. We couldn't find him. And she was really mad about that." She was understandable. But the king felt so bad about this. What in the world is this coming to? And so he goes to Elisha. He said, "Elisha, what are we going to do?" And Elisha told him that tomorrow about this time, there'll be food. And the king's servant that was with him just laughed. Oh, he laughed. He said, he was an atheist, I think, or something. But he said that if there was windows, if God would make windows in heaven, there couldn't be enough food to feed the people. That's a pretty strong statement. And Elisha said, well, you'll see it with your eyes, but you won't get to see it. You won't get to eat any of it tomorrow. Uh-oh. Now that's bad news for a hungry man, isn't it? You'll get to see the food, but you can't eat it. And the next day, or that night, God made a noise, made the army outside to hear a noise. They thought it was a bigger army than them coming to get them, and they all ran. And they ran fast. Left all their food back there. They had lots of it. Left all the food outside and just left. And during the night, some lepers found out about this and told the people inside. And the next day, there was more than enough food for everybody. The gates were open, and there was food. And the man who said that God couldn't supply enough food was the gatekeeper. He was told to be the gatekeeper there. Now, guess what happens when you have a whole bunch of hungry people and a little opening, and it's just you standing there to keep peace? They all ran over him. They just ran right over him, ran over top of him, trampled him down. He couldn't get up, and he died. So he got to see the food, but he didn't get to eat any of it. But being really hungry can bring out some unpleasant character traits in people. We can literally say that hunger is a life and death matter. You know, our text verse there says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, there's a principle in life that what we feed grows and what we starve dies. There's that principle in life. And that was illustrated by an Indian who said that there's two dogs that are fighting inside. He has a black dog and a white dog inside. And the white dog is fighting with the black dog. The white dog wants to do what's right, and the black dog wants to make him do what's bad. And he was asking the old chief what to do about these two dogs that are fighting inside. And the chief said, well, whichever one you feed is going to win. The dog that you feed is going to win. Well, you know what it feels like. You have, there's things in your life that there's things that want to make you do what's wrong, and there's things that want to make that you do what's right. And there's these forces in there, and whichever one do you feed is the one that's going to win. Jesus says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness is feeding the white dog, the desire for righteousness. Hunger after righteousness, desire it like the people in Samaria that wanted the food. So what is righteousness? In a broad sense, it's the state of one who is as he ought to be. That's a lot of words that are hard to understand. It's the state of one who is what he should be, right? Righteousness, the condition acceptable to God. It's integrity. It's doing what's right. It's being honest. Virtue, that's moral excellence. Virtue simply means moral excellence. It's excelling in doing what's right. It's purity of life. It's rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Righteousness is also translated as just in the New Testament, as in the just shall live by faith or with faith. You know, in Romans 1:16, if you would turn to that, we'll read a few verses there. The just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Faith is imputed as righteousness. You know, believing in We talked a little bit in Sunday school this morning about love being a no fear in love, or perfect love casts out fear. If I love my wife, I am not going to intentionally do things to her to make her mad. That's not love, or she won't interpret it as love. And God doesn't interpret love as people intentionally doing things to make him upset either. If we love somebody, we do what pleases them. And God has given us direction on what pleases him. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus says. So if we love, we have a desire to be righteous. We have a hunger for righteousness. God will fill us. You know, we might not get it right all the time, but if we seek after God with love, in love, we seek after him with a heart that that wants to do what's right. When God says, "Well, thank you for your intention, but this is, I really think you should do it this way," or we become aware of it, if we love, we say, "Oh, thank you," and we change. If we are serving ourselves, then we aren't so thankful. We get angry. But perfect love casts out fear. We're not serving God because he's there with a big stick to whack us over the head when we do it wrong. We serve God because we love him. Anyway, the righteous shall live by faith, or the just shall live by faith. For I am not ashamed, in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, or to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, the gospel of Christ reveals the righteousness of God. In the scriptures, we can read the scriptures, and it has the righteousness of God in there. Faith in Christ opens the power of God to salvation in our life. In other words, we believe in Christ, and if we believe, it leads to action. Action is we act upon what we believe. We can't believe and not do because we don't believe then. It's kind of a circular, it's empty words if we believe and don't do anything with the belief. We can't do it on our own. Faith is simply reaching up and grabbing God's hand, and it's counted as righteousness. You know, when you have a switch, when we wired some lights in our shop one time, and the lights took a big, there was a whole bunch of them, and they drew a lot of current. And just, I think they were, I don't know, remember what they were pulling, but they were pulling more than 20 amps at that time. And we couldn't just take a 20 amp switch, a wall switch, and plug it in because it wouldn't handle it. It was too much startup current. So we put a relay in, and the relay was a big, could handle the startup current, put a relay in, and then we put a switch down here to turn the relay on. When we wanted to turn the lights on, we flipped put current to the relay, then the relay turned the lights on. The relay was like it boosted what the amperage, how much current could go to the lights. And that's a little bit what faith is. We believe in Christ. We reach up and hold God's hand. But God is the one who actually does the work. Faith is counted as righteousness. You know, we're not, of ourselves, we cannot be righteous all on our own. We can't. But we can believe in God. God, Christ is the one who did the sacrifice for us, or who offered himself as a sacrifice. And his work is what cleanses us from sin, not anything that we do. We simply believe in Christ. And we love him and serve him. because we love him. So going on in Romans 1, we read verse 16 and 17. They're about the just shall live by faith. But then there's the unjust who don't live by faith. And this is what it talks about that. Verse 18, for the wrath or the anger, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or made known in them. For God hath declared it unto them, hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. That's what happens when you have a head knowledge but don't do anything. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or suitable. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's a contrast with righteousness. That is unrighteousness contrasted with righteousness. And you know, all of us have a hunger in our heart, in our soul. And we will feed one thing or another. And what we feed will grow. Hunger and thirst after righteousness is what Jesus said. Actually, he says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's an invitation. It's a blessing. And it's your choice. It's my choice. It's not forced on anyone. But our appetites control our actions. What we feed grows and what we starve dies. You know, when I'm really, really hungry, there's such a thing as getting food quick. So I'm really hungry, I'm really thirsty, I've been working hard, and I need something to eat. And so I get a big bag of marshmallows and a 2-liter bottle of Coke, and I am going to fill up. What happens if you do that for a week straight? Well, I would probably fall over dead because the sugar would just make me go crazy. But some people might really enjoy it. So you could have, if you make a diet of eating marshmallows and drinking Coke, you will get weak. Well, probably. You'll start looking like the marshmallow after a while. If you just had rice If you had rice and beans and water, that would probably work. You'd have protein, you'd have some starch, and you could hydrate. But if we wanted to grow muscles and maintain healthy bodies, what food would we eat? Definitely not marshmallows and Coke. But we, in moderation, some people like marshmallows, and some people really like Coke. And it doesn't hurt to eat it a little bit every once in a while, but very little bit. My little boy would eat it all week if he could, but that's what his mom is for, and his dad, is to help him. But spiritually, what kind of appetites do we have? Are we feeding ourselves marshmallows and Coke? Or do we feed ourselves something worse? What nourishment do we give our spiritual hunger? Are we sensitive to spiritual hunger? And are we concerned what food our spirits get? What quality of food our spirits get? Do you know there's some things? Hunger is something that we all face. But you know there's some disorders that can happen. You know, anorexia is one that, I'm not sure if I'm saying that word right, but that is one that I've heard can be a disorder. And that is when someone does not eat because they have a desire to, they feel like if they don't eat, they'll increase their self-worth. It can be an emotional disorder characterized by an obsessive desire to lose weight by refusing to eat. A lack or loss of appetite for food as a medical condition is a disorder. Can we be spiritually anorexic? I can be, and I'll confess, I can be, not physically, I'm way too much, way too sensitive to the hunger pains to be concerned about not eating. But spiritually, it's a very real possibility. Too busy, no time to be fed. Do you ever face that? You get up in the morning and you are overwhelmed by what you have to do. I'm sure some of us are that way. Or we are too distracted. Maybe we're not too busy, but we have other things that we'd rather do than spend time with God. You know, that's maybe something that we in our culture today can struggle with. We have so many things that are fun, and we are addicted to fun, that it's more fun to do other things than to connect with God. And that can be spiritual anorexia. We're not taking in the food that we need. God, we're not allowing God to have a relationship with us, and we don't have a relationship with Him, or it's very, very flimsy. Or gets weaker because we're not feeding it. Or maybe there's sin in my life, and I can't connect with the Word because, you know, God resisteth the proud. There's a verse there that says God resisteth the proud and He gives grace to the humble. Or, yeah, maybe there's sin in my life and I don't want to get rid of it, and God doesn't want, or I'm not able to really connect with God through His Word. Or maybe I have bitterness or grudges or some form of unforgiveness. You know, unforgiveness is something that directly hinges on how I can receive forgiveness from God. So that, you know, there's that to think of. And if we can't get food, we can't get nourishment, we can eventually die. We don't receive a blessing from hungering after righteousness if we can't eat or don't have a desire to eat. You know, another eating disorder in the physical sense is binge eating or overeating. Just there's a big bag of chips on the counter, so you just eat them all. And you get, there's a pack of cookies, you just eat them all just because. And you just go from one to the next, to the next, to the next, and just overeat. Now, I don't know if I can say this the way I exactly mean it, but I hope you can discern. Binge eating can be an unhealthy, in a spiritual sense, an unhealthy dependence on others to spoon feed us spiritual nourishment. Now, that's a lot of words. But this can be a heavy reliance on devotional books or inspirational stories or commentaries, etc., that are substituted for God's word. I don't know, have you ever faced that? Where we read somebody else's interpretations and different all, and we do that in moderation, it's probably okay, some, but if that's all we rely on, it's not the same as reading God's word. It can cut down on our daily nourishment. It can cut down on digging into the word and the connection with God that it gives. So that's something, I'm not saying it's wrong to read that, but if that's all we rely on for our spiritual nourishment, it's not the best. Or we can have a junk food diet, a spiritual junk food diet. Well, I don't know if it's a spiritual diet, it's maybe no diet, but so we can get our, like I said, we can be distracted. We can have all our fun things that we do. We might have digital entertainment, which can be anything from playing a game to watching, just nonsense. Light reading material, just reading exciting stories all the time. In moderation, it's good. But if that's all we do and we sacrifice reading God's word, it's not healthy. Distractions from meditative thoughts is also not good. Who controls what we're hungry for? You know, we can cultivate our taste spiritually just like we can physically. You know, you've heard the saying, an acquired taste. You know, some things we don't naturally like. Broccoli is something that some people just don't naturally like. I'm sure then there's others that do like it naturally. But we all, or most of us, have had to eat things we didn't like before. And maybe we will eat some things we don't like for lunch. I don't know how your discipline is there. But it's good to eat things that you don't like sometimes or that you don't care for so much. And there are something, because they're healthy for you. It's good to eat some of those things you don't like because they're healthy for you. And there is a possibility of acquiring a taste for that. But we can cultivate our spiritual tastes like we can cultivate our physical tastes. Remember, our appetites control our actions. An appetite for righteousness, holiness, and a close walk with God will result in healthy food to help us grow toward producing the fruits of a spirit-controlled life. Did you know that there's no overeating of that kind of food? You can't, it's not overeating, it's you cannot produce too much spiritual fruit. You cannot. You can't do that. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. You can practice those all you want to. There's no law against those. There's no limit on the amount of this fruit you can bear. I already said that. An appetite, on the other hand, for pleasure, for self, for instant gratification right now, will result in feeding on junk food that will eventually make us die. And Galatians 5:24 just says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and its lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, or do, be, have a lifestyle in the Spirit. You know, Paul had an appetite for the things that were of God. If you can turn to this if you want, Philippians 3, verse 7, if you want to. But it is Paul talking about some of the things that he went through and faced and strove for without Christ. Paul had an appetite for righteousness even before he met Christ. And the zeal that he had was good. And in Philippians 3, even prior to verse 7 there, it talks about some of the things that he did and what he accomplished with his appetite for righteousness. But Jesus says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. With God all things are possible." And with God, Christ can show us and do through faith in Christ, through faith in his name, and his work can cleanse us from sin, where just doing the righteousness that was in the law did not cleanse Paul from sin. So he worked so hard to be righteous without Christ, but he was not filled. After he found Christ, the things that he worked so hard for, the pedigree that he had, the intense striving for perfection on his own strength, he says, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency," or the highest place, "of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung," or count them but trash, "that I may win Christ, and be found in him, have my name written in the book of life, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend or arrest that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended already, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." And I'll stop right there. But you know, a hunger and a thirst after righteousness will be filled. There's a blessing in that. It will affect our actions. It will affect our lifestyle. It will affect what we do, who we are. It will affect what we feed on. I would just challenge you this week, any of you that care to immerse yourself in God's Word. Whatever, I mean, his just ask his spirit to guide you into the truth. And there's things, I'm sure, that you will read or that will be a blessing to you. But hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you will be filled. Let's stand for prayer, or let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we come to you. I thank you for your word and for the food that you have given us that's available to us. You have literally opened the windows of heaven and given us food. And Father, you've given the food, but it's up to us to eat it. Would you give us an appetite and a desire, a hunger for righteousness? Would you fill us with your righteousness? We thank you for all that you have done for us already. Lord, each one here today, you know how hungry we all are. You know what our spiritual state is before you. Would your spirit just work and fill us, Lord? Would you give us more of an appetite for you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's have a song.